This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, Dr. Koo. In your opinion, are rallies still relevant as a currency for democracy in Malaysia?
I would like to first highlight two things. First, we have to fix the misperception of some Malaysian on street rallies. Street rallies from the lens of the government and the enforcement is considered as illegal. So it is often portrayed as a negative act and linkage with the violence, also with the argument that it is never our culture. And second, this year marks the 10th anniversary of the formation of Bersih. Bersih too, since its formation back then in 2005, as a joint action committee for electoral reform, is not intending to conduct street rallies. Its main aim was to push for electoral reform through voter education and to create awareness. The movement has, however, been seen as a movement that focuses only on organizing street rallies, whereby it is, in fact, the last resort. So to your question, are rallies still relevant as a currency for democracy in Malaysia? Yes, it is, and it will always be relevant. Rallies happen around the world regardless of the type of the political regimes that they are in, whether it's democratic or authoritarian. Moreover, rallies in Malaysia is to some extent has been normalized, so it is no longer a taboo as it used to be.
Bersih 5 saw a big drop in attendance since last year. How do you think this reflects on its pertinency?
I don't think so. According to the estimation from the police, there were about 15,000 protesters and then from the Bersih and then 2005 from the Red Shirt. However, the online portal Malaysia Kini estimated more than 40,000 Bersih protesters and 4,000 Red Shirts. But we are never able to get the right number of how many actually turn out. So this time around, it is made even more difficult with the heavy cordon off of the road closures that basically barring the Bersih protesters to converge at their gathering point. I see this as political manipulation. After all, the number turnout nowadays is not the direct reflection of support that Bersih gets in view of the repressive situation that we are in right now, which basically doesn't encourage people to come out and protest without feeling fearful.
Dr. Koo, some even argue that Bersih 1 to 5 appear to have achieved little to nothing except antagonizing Putrajaya. What has Bersih actually achieved, do you think?
A protest is an indication of political resistance against established authoritarian political regime that basically benefits the elite groups. However, it has the potential to actually cripple the political legitimacy of the state. And very often, the mobilization strength by the citizenry is viewed as a threat to the government, and that's what's happening now. There are various arguments on how has the Bersih achieved after 10 years. It is never easy to actually measure the achievement of any movement, but one key impact of Bersih is the public awareness and the political consciousness on the electoral and democracy issues in the country.
How significant were the arrests of several leading figures, both from Bersih and Red Shirt groups, on the eve of the event, you think?
Well, the situation was very tense on the eve of the Bersih 5 when the police started their arrest on the Bersih co-chair Mariatin Abdullah and the Bersih program manager Mandit Singh, as well as several student activists and several opposition leaders. But later on, Jamal was arrested after midnight. So the calculation at that time was perhaps there could be a major crackdown on activists. I think what was really significant during that first few hours was that the fear impact on the potential protester that intended to actually participate in the Bersih 5 rally the next day. So having said that, the pre-rally arrest has impact on creating more fear, as in people generally anticipate that there could be more repression on the day of the rally itself.
Arrests of federal opposition leaders seem to strengthen the rhetoric that Bersih rallies are being hijacked by anti-BN politicians. This has been happening since the first Bersih rally. Your thoughts on this?
Well, the claims that the opposition has hijacked Bersih movement has never stopped. Historically, Bersih, when it first started as the Joint Action Committee on Electoral Reform, it was an initiative that started by the opposition itself. So then later on, when it transformed into a non-partisan movement, back in 2010. And the other point that we have to see is that Malaysian politics is strongly divided into two, one that is Barisan Nasional and one for the opposition Pakatan. So similarly to the Malaysian, it's being divided into partisans. So with such a background, it is rather common to see that how every single issue is being played with the partisan approach. So I don't think such argument will not fade away, but I don't see it as a major issue right now.
Do you sense there was a disinterest to attend the rally, which has now become a yearly event? Because there are suggestions about the increase in fatigue in terms of political rally among the people right now.
I could agree to the suggestion of the political fatigue that Malaysians are feeling right now. Also, that there are some who are uninterested to attend the rally due to many factors apart from political fatigue. For example, the argument is that they do not see immediate change after the rally. But it is important to understand that the condition of Malaysia, that is to a certain extent, is repressive, where it doesn't have an enabling environment for peaceful citizen action.
Dr. Koo, before I let you go, the red shirts turnout around 4,000 was also incredibly low in comparison to last year, where an estimated 45,000 took part. How does this reflect on their influence?
I do not think it is actually appropriate to compare the situation with the last year during the 16th September by the red shirts. Because last year, when the red shirt had the 45,000 turnout, it was not held at the same time with the Pussy protest as it is.
Just delving a little bit deeper, the police did warn they'll use tear gas and water cannons. But when protesters did not force their way beyond the barricades, these dispersal methods were not applied. Would you say the right to assemble peacefully was partially fulfilled here?
Well, there's a different way to look at this situation. My view is that while the police have managed in preventing the yellow and red shirt from clashing, unfortunately, they have blocked off all the roads that impede on the right of protesters to actually march peacefully. Because the police say that they are doing that to prevent a clash. Yes, it is. But by blocking all the roads, you are denying the people the right to gather and protest. So although the police were even-handed in their treatment of, let's say, and the red shirt protester, but the heavy road closures were unnecessary. So the issue here is the freedom to assemble. And the police are not following the international human rights standard in allowing people to protest. Because Bursa gave the police all their routes and meeting points, but what they did was to actually block off every single one of these points to actually prevent people from converging. So I think this is not the right practice. They could have just closed off the access to Dataran Merdeka and let people from the different meeting points to converge.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.